That's right. 5 minutes early. Can't say nothing to the boy tonight. Folks, welcome to Everything Pro Wrestling. Everything Pro Wrestling is a show by the fans, for the fans. I'm your host, Conrad Cushman, being joined tonight.
What are you wearing? Blue.
By the man in blue. It was a little darker than I was used to. The man in dark blue. He's feeling some type of hue. The one, the only, the man they call Derek.
Yo, yo, yo.
Also in the building, we have Sean Hubbard of Hubbard Wrestling Weekly, top tier co-host of Clash of the Podcast, which we will be live for tomorrow on the mothership over here on Everything Pro Wrestling, 6:05 Eastern Standard Time. Be there. We're going to talk a lot of WrestleMania fallout, some foolishness going on with AEW that I'm not feeling, but we'll get into that tomorrow. So that's your cliffhanger for that. And I have a little special guest to pop in for a second. I don't know how long we've got this guest for, but I had to do it. Pro Wrestling Shoot on location. Location. He had to come in and get it off. The Pro Wrestling Shoot. If you love
WWE. What's good?
What's good?
What's good?
2K24 content. Subscribe to the Pro Wrestling Shoot channel. I got the link coming into the live chat right now. With that being
said, first of all, appreciate you guys for letting me pop up in here. I don't know how bad my audio is. I'm literally just talking into my phone, but you know, good to see you guys.
Good to see you too.
Good to see you, brother.
Let's, I'm going to hit that intro. We'll get into this and then we're going to talk a little WrestleMania. I'll let Jesse get his stuff off first so he could do his thing. And then we'll,
as he should.
All right. I'm going to hit that intro. Clash of the Podcast intro. Hear it. Like it, and if you don't like it, the only thing you could do is love it. Let's go. Oh, wait, and Sean's got to say his classic line first.
Conrad, drop that thing.
Yo, my voice is starting to feel it a little bit. It was something else tonight. Jesse, I don't know. Do we have you for limited time? Let me know the deal real quick with you.
Limited time. I got to go hit the streets of San Francisco. Obviously, you can see behind me. We're
beautiful.
We're in the city. You know what I mean? So, man, first of all, man, I mean, what do you all want to talk about?
Oh, here he goes. This is his moment. I'm going to let him shine. Go ahead, man. How you feeling, man? Listen,
dude.
Spoiler alert, if you haven't watched, we have a new WWE Universal Champion after 1,316 long days. How you feeling, Jesse?
I mean, how you think I'm feeling, man? This, look, all I got to say, like, I know – a lot of people ain't a fan of Triple H because of what's, you know, what the past had to offer everybody. But if this is any indication of what we have for the Triple H era, I'm ready for the ride, man. This needed to happen. This was a change that was welcomed. I'm stoked, man. I'm stoked. This was everything I wanted to see this year in WrestleMania. I knew that if we pushed it another year, I don't know how many fans would be behind Cody. Definitely. You know what I mean? This had to be the call, and the way they did it, man. I said it last night. If you follow me on Twitter, posted a little Marvel meme of Endgame. If you guys know about Endgame, I said, listen, this is the way WrestleMania 40 is going to end. And that is not a prediction. It's a spoiler. Nailed it, man. Nailed it. Great. I wish I could have seen Stone Cold instead of Undertaker, but it seems like couldn't get Stone Cold this year. But Undertaker was a shock.
Old Steve wanted to raise the belt if he was coming out at the end. You know?
Yeah.
Put some spank on it. Great. And Sean, do you have anything you want to follow up with Jesse on before we get him on out of here and let him go back to his vacay?
Yeah, there's far too much for me to say to not do it in a time frame that would not allow him to get back to his wonderful vacation. Listen to this later when you get a chance. just know I've never, ever been so happy to be wrong. I was wrong, and it hit me different than I thought it would. And you'll hear that later when you're finished with your night out. That's far more important than this, but it hit me. I'm talking about real life hit me tonight. So congratulations to you. I mean, unbelievable.
Well, hey, listen, man, I just want you guys to know that I appreciate everything that you've done for us over at the Pro Wrestling Shoot. I'm happy that I was blessed to meet every single one of you, man. I love all you guys. Love you. Your show is the greatest. I still believe that all of you guys are the best in the podcasting game, and it is a shame to the professional wrestling world that you guys aren't doing this on the biggest platform possible. And I pray that one day that you'll get there, because all of you deserve it. And while I get back to it, man, I just wanted to say I love you. Have a great show, and let's go, Cody, baby.
I love you, brother. God bless you, man.
Hey, my guy.
Yeah. Take it easy.
Peace. Yo, in this land of bizarre world, who would have ever thought Jesse pops up on the pro with the Pro Wrestling Shoot logo and all that, wearing a CM Punk shirt, and then you got me wearing a Cody Rhodes Ring of Honor shirt. Weird timeline right now. We're going to go through all of this. Like I said, man, if you ain't messing with Hubs, I don't know what you're doing. I don't know what you're waiting for. We had a fire preview show with like an esteemed panel. This joint was better than like a Monday Night Raw usual. So you need to go over to Hubbard Wrestling Weekly and subscribe. He's already cooking up your summer for you. I don't know if y'all know that, but I'm giving spoilers out right now because I'm in a good mood. Your summer is being cooked up very well. Very well. And I'm going to be part of it. So make sure you guys are going over to Hubbard Wrestling Weekly to check us out. I'm going to put that right in there.
Thank you, my brother.
Yo, Derek. Too big of swirls, bro. What are you doing?
It's that time.
I think he's right, because it's a slow cook, right?
It's stirring up in the cauldron, my
guy. I can't even. Oh, gosh.
I'm going to give you a second to get it together. Let's do our shout-outs real quick. Yes. I love that all three of us get together and do this.
Absolutely.
I'm going to say this, too, before we get started. You don't see a lot of brothers who get to do this on a high level like we do. You got like Grapsody. You got several other places that do this as well. But I love that I do this with people who are my friends, and that we talk pro wrestling all the time, and it just feels good. So I just want to relish in that moment for a second, just for all of us. LeGoat, I see that you popped up in here around 6 with the eye emojis. You were early, but I know you usually catch this on the replay and leave some comments, but I appreciate you, LG. Mike's in the house. Man, he was excited. He left a bunch of comments in here. We're going to get to it. I'm just trying to give everyone shout-outs. Pro Wrestling Shoot in here. I'm hoping James is in here somewhere. There he is. He's in here talking that mess.
Yes.
Let me see. We got Blake in the house. Blake, what's good? Blake, I know you're happy as well from how the chats were going yesterday. Shout out to my guy, JPQ, the man who introduced me to Stardom. Big pause on a pup. I don't know if you were at the show or not, brother, but I hope that you are doing good. Connor in the house going crazy. What's good, Connor? BJ's here. Way to kick off the Renaissance Triple H era. Sean had some good stuff to say about that yesterday if you didn't listen to day one's review. Tomorrow should be fun. Looking forward to it. Rob says it. Night two poo-poos all over night one.
Oh, please. Not even close. Absolutely.
Sean's guy, Terrell, also known as
T3Z.
What's good? Appreciate you. Nightbot's in here putting in some work with me. Samantha, yo, JPQ's and Samantha Irwin, MVP. Crushed it.
She's amazing.
I'm ignoring that. Look at E in the house, Dark Elite Eric. Man, what's good? Pawn from XG Dub in the house. What's good, Pawn? Appreciate you, bro. Always love it, man. Let's see here. I see you. I see you, and I see what to do with that. Guy Will Gamble, what's good, man? Appreciate you, bro. Appreciate you. XG Dub in the house. Thank you. Thank you for calling out that name. Shortened version of it. Sick is here. What's good? What is good? Clown in the house. Let me see. I'm just trying to. I'm not allowed to do this one when Sean's on the show.
M. Leezy. Faux. Cheesy. good evening. Oh, I'm assuming the good evening. Pardon me. I jumped the gun. There is a video of Heyman hugging Roman. There you go.
Hey.
I know there has to be a good evening in some here somewhere. I'm
sure. It's going to be. It's going to be. Deanna, what's good? Appreciate you. Pawn yelling, it's definitely a new era. cut it out, Rob. Cut it out. Irish McNeil says, London in the house. Man, what's up, hey. Irish? Yo, Irish, if you want, come over to the YouTube side of things as well. We would appreciate a subscribe on there. Like I said, you can get to my channel, Hubbard Wrestling Weekly's channel over here. So come on over. You're more than welcome. We're also on Twitch. We're everywhere, man. So come on in. Type in EPW show, man. Let me see.
Monday, all of Europe. We appreciate you guys, man.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Actually, you know who else I got to shout out, man? I've been in the top 100 wrestling podcast for Saudi Arabia. A lot late. Like, amazing. I'm at 67, and I don't know how I got there. I used to be like 99, 98, and I'd just fall right off afterwards. But I've been moving up. I don't know how. I don't know why. But thank you to everyone who listens all over the world. Thank
can
you.
Can I say something? I'm not surprised.
I'll take it. A dub's a dub. I'm
hungry. I'm not. I'm saying you're tremendous at what you do. You guys have an amazing show on Wednesday nights. You guys are EPW is where it's at, man. I don't know how many times I got to tell you.
Listen,
I just go along for the ride.
EPW is where it's at, man. This is a wonderful, wonderful. I'm in my feelings tonight, bro. Wow.
We about to be in our feelings talking about this show, man. Let's hop into it, guys. Let's not waste any time because, tomorrow we got Raw after Mania. We got the Eclipse going on. There's a lot of stuff happening.
I know.
I do. This is a once-in-a-lifetime event.
I don't care.
You hating, bro. Derek's the hater, man. Type it in the chat, Beach. WrestleMania 40 Night 2, Sean. How did you go into this? How were you feeling going into this?
I was hopeful because for all the wrong reasons, because Night 1 was kind of a letdown for me. All was genuine. By the way, a little spoiler alert, you guys are going to get a real non-kayfabe, non-storyline Sean tonight. I'm bringing it real raw tonight. So where you might think sarcasm might be on 10, sarcasm is on a 0 tonight. I'm bringing it 100% real tonight. Night 1 was kind of a letdown, man. I mean, I wasn't happy with the Sami Zayn result. That's neither here nor there, even though the match was 5-star. I thought Jimmy and Jay let us down a little bit, as much as I love the Usos. Tonight was Night 2 was just amazing. I mean, I don't even think it was close.
Not at all, sir. Not at all. This is the first time, though. Usually Night 1's better. Like, if you would have asked me for 39, I thought Night 1 was better. Okay. 38, I thought Night 1 was better.
Yeah.
So it was interesting to see how it's going down, man. I don't know. So in this, we get another Meek Mill promo. Was it the same as yesterday? I thought it was slightly different.
It was slightly different, and they changed up the song, too.
Yeah. We got God Bless America by War and Treaty. The War and Treaty.
They took us to church. That was amazing.
Yeah, no, I thought they were great, man. I saw some disheartening remarks, but that was like some tribalism stuff. I wasn't really feeling that, really. And I have to pause here to say a big shout-out to one of our weekly listeners.
God bless you. My favorite Vinny, the only Vinny that we like.
Facts. What's good, Vinny?
Vinny Vici.
And Derek always adds that in when you see that pop up in the chat.
Holla. See?
All right. Now I got Ja Rule in my head. So Stephanie McMahon comes out. I was surprised by this.
Me too.
I wasn't ready for it.
Me neither.
I'm not. I thought it was borderline. Again, no jiving tonight, okay, guys. No, I'm coming completely raw. I thought it was totally inappropriate for her to be there.
I agree with that.
I don't know how I felt about it.
Totally inappropriate. I don't think. I mean, if you wanted to show up at the Hall of Fame, we talked about that last night. That was somewhat weird, but considering the circumstances, which we are not going to get into on this platform, I thought it was a little bit inappropriate for her to be in attendance and to have a microphone segment.
Just felt weird. And I'm like, is she back or no?
Right.
That wasn't really made clear either. Maybe we'll get a press release tomorrow. shout out to the chat, man. I see all your questions asking about us and stuff. We appreciate that. Renegade does bring up something that if you guys hear me say in the future, I want you to know it's a joke. But anytime I start seeing these wrestlers co-mingling, I'm going to start saying betrayal. Betrayal.
He is Mia Yim's husband, man.
No, there was a different person who was just...
No, I know. I'm saying last night you were being silly, bro.
No, I'm saying that for everybody because it's ridiculous that someone even said that to them. Okay. Cut it out. Wait. Stephanie opens up the show, yada, yada, yada. Drew McIntyre, McDrew, he comes out. He came out with a little Roddy Piper swag. Yep. He had the intro. Right. He had everybody with the swords out. I thought it was cool.
It was.
I'll take it a step further. I thought, and you've never heard me use the word outstanding when it comes to Drew McIntyre. That was an outstanding entrance.
I'm not going to lie. The guys who usually perform those things, and I only know this because I had to work with them several times at my job, they are on it. Like, they can do that instantly, like get in the line, set it up. So it was beautifully done. Seth Rollins comes out, and I thought his was well done as well. It was different.
It was.
But Seth comes out in a crazy attire. I don't even know how to describe it to you guys. It was just something like out of a comic book, like all these colors. It was just different for what Seth Rollins' character is. And he was basically showing injury throughout all of this match. The first move was a Claymore. Like, boom. I was like, nah, they ain't going to do it like that too early. It gets out of hand. He's hitting pedigrees. Pedigree used to be a protected finish, man. No more.
Yeah, not anymore. You can kick out of a pedigree real easy these days.
Man. Apparently. There were a lot of those. I think it took four Claymores to put Seth down finally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely think it was like four.
It just felt weird. McIntyre is your new world heavyweight champion. He's walking around the ring. He's bragging to his girl. And then he has to get in front of Punk. Like, let me let him know about this moment. Sits in front of him. Belt in his face, Sean. And CM Punk grabs his foot and busts his patootie. Mm-hmm. He just made him fall. Down he goes. Punk takes off the appliance that's on him. And, man, he dogged him, bro.
Big time. Big time.
And when Damian Priest music hit, Sean, I'm about to tell you some insider baseball over here. Derek popped. Derek was not feeling Damian Priest. He got up and he was like, yes, yes. Damian Priest smacked this dude so hard with the briefcase, he nearly lost it into the crowd. Into the ring he goes, choke slam, sit out. I don't know what he calls it, but wild, bro.
The South of Heaven choke slam.
Thank you. Thank you. That's why Sean's on here. He's an actual broadcast journalist. Down goes Drew. Pinfall. New world champion. Damian Priest is the guy walking away with this. How did you feel going into this matchup? We'll go to Sean first, then we'll go to Derek.
I mean, I felt strong about it. I felt Drew would put on a good showing. I thought that Seth would put on another good showing. Seth is a workhorse. We talked about this kind of tongue-in-cheek last night, about what it would take to restore the luster of the Money in the Bank. Tonight, they did it. Tonight, they officially put the Money in the Bank back into good standing. I hope they keep it that way. This United States Intercontinental, you know, hardcore European, you know, cash-in is ridiculous, right? Let's make it mean something. Damian Priest cashed in. It's only the second time it's happened at WrestleMania. Seth Rollins was the first. Ironically, Seth Rollins was in the match. I thought it was really well received by the fans. I, watching at home, was really moved by it. It's the first time I've been moved by a cash-in in about 3 years. So thank you for doing the right thing for a change, WWE, Triple H, whoever it was. The cash-in was really well put together. It was really a good story told by Phil Brooks, and the idea that he's not as injured as we thought he was. I don't think he's a dummy. I don't think he gutted his way through really putting himself at risk. Like, you know what, for the sake of WrestleMania, I shouldn't even be moving this arm, but I'm going to do this spot with Drew McIntyre. I think it shows that CM Punk is healing very nicely, and he took the opportunity to, I won't even say screw over Drew McIntyre. Deanna, I see you. I think Drew screwed Drew. I think Drew made a mistake. Obviously, there's a storyline situation. You're going to go over to CM Punk and antagonize him? You deserve what you get.
That's how it goes. It might be the story on Wednesday, too. But I'll save that.
Uh-oh.
So This was amazing. I'm happy for Priest, man. Derek, I'm gonna kick it to you, man, because I think you had the most, like, you weren't feeling this money.
And real quick, before we throw it to Derek, I want to say, might it be, and Derek, please answer this too in your diatribe, might this cashing be the resurgence also of the Judgment Day?
I would say yes. Judgment Day needed something like this to happen. By no means do I like Damian Priest. I don't. Mm-hmm. But I needed Damian Priest to do exactly what he did tonight. I like Drew, but I don't like him that much.
He's not box office. I've been saying it from the start. Yeah. I don't mean, I'm not trying to disrespect that man. He's not box office.
No, he's not. Like, Drew's good. Drew can perform. Yeah. He's a good wrestler. But the whole like, and I really felt like this was a personal thing for him. Like, I didn't get my just due. Okay, well, you know, I'm sorry, bro. It's not their fault that we got into a situation that was out of their control.
It just sucked. I feel him. Because think about it. He held that title up, and it was his moment where I'm like, it wasn't the I beat the world champ in the main event of wrestling. Like, it was supposed to be
for him. I get it, bro. I get it. It wasn't the moment that he was looking for.
Brother Conrad, Brother Derek, I've blamed WWE for a lot of things, but I don't think they cooked up a pandemic.
Yeah, no.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you made, like,
it just sucked. That's all I'm saying is it sucks.
Right. Like, you made it about that, and it was just like, come on, bro, don't do that. Because it's not their fault that crap happened.
Nope.
I'm sorry. I feel you. Nobody was there when some people should have been there, but it's not their fault.
Concur. I am looking for a picture that was sent to me before. If you are a fan of CM Punk on his Instagram, bro, he gave it right back to Drew in one of those. They had what the heck was it? The people were, it's the funeral thing. McIntyre and the Great. This time it was Punk making fun of him, and I was just like, well done.
From a storyline perspective, I think it was beautifully done. Drew McIntyre. Oh, obviously,
here it is from afar. With the bagpipes. Playing, man. With Roddy Piper's theme.
Look, from a storyline perspective, Drew McIntyre is the dumbest person on earth for what he did. I mean, from a theatrical standpoint, it was awesome. But if this was, we all know, I mean, anybody who doesn't know that WWE is, you know, wrestling is predetermined, then sorry to break the news to you. There's also, you know, the Easter Bunny. There's a little question about that too. But Drew stepping to CM Punk, you should be celebrating. Why are you over talking to CM Punk?
Absolutely. Matt Lopez comes in with a little knowledge for us. Second Puerto Rican champion in WWE since Pedro. That is Pedro Morales.
Yes.
For those who love history.
Okay. All right.
Drew was trolling and fell off faster than acorns. I love it, guy. Will Gamble. So good, man. Good.
That's what he deserves.
Could be, or the downfall. What about Finn? Interesting. Judgment Day is interesting right now because you have Dominic was just hanging out with another group. Is Andrade going to get brought into the fold? They were talking to him.
Well, Andrade's off the table now because Andrade turned on him.
Right. So you have options. Are they going to beef with – are they turning face, the whole group?
I don't think so.
I'm just saying there's options there for what you want to do.
I don't think they will. You know what's going to happen? Damian, if you have been paying attention enough, to me, in my mind, if you watched long enough, Damian Priest has been trying to overtake what Rhea's been doing. Damian Priest has been trying to be the one who says, hey, you got to do this. You got to do this. You got to do this. Hey, mommy, you were supposed to do this, but you didn't do it. Now I'm going to do it silently without saying it, and now all of a sudden I have the title.
Because it worked when he didn't tell them for once. Every time they were planning as a group, it didn't work.
Yeah, so I think they're going to resurge for a tiny bit, but then Damian Priest is going to feel himself way too much.
Yes.
Derek just hit the nail directly on the head.
That was
Damian Priest now has the figurative chip to push to the middle of the table to say that, hey, listen, you're not the only world champion in this group. Y'all better start listening to me now. And you know what? It can go so many different ways. What if Dominic's not feeling mommy as much as he used to?
Right. Yeah.
What if Finn thinks that Priest has the better ideas?
Or you could say, what if Finn starts to get jealous?
That too. It's a.
And where does JD's alliance go?
Well, JD's alliance is always going to be with Finn Balor.
That's what I mean. He might go with Finn and dip off with him. And then it leads other people. This is crazy.
It's a good thing to have options for it. WWE sucked for a long time. And tonight, I hope tonight's the beginning of something special.
I hope so, too. Let's get into the next matchup here. I saw some people putting their predictions and stuff in here. I appreciate that. Cactus, much love if you didn't hear me say it before to you. Love it. And we are being told Cody Rhodes is on the press conference now. And by the way, Clown had a really good suggestion in here, thinking that it might be the Summer of Punk with the world title. Time will tell. I think Sean hit the nail on the head with the Punk's ahead of schedule when it comes to his
recovery.
Thank you. Getting into this, Sean, I'm interested to go to you first for this one. I don't know why. I just want to know Sean's thoughts on this match. So we had the Pride versus the Final Testament. This match is a Philadelphia street fight. The special guest ref is Bubba Ray Dudley. Bubba Ray came out. I was shocked to see this, but I was like, okay, Bubba Ray's out here. Then we get Snoop Dogg as the guest commentator, and Snoop is the most unintentional, funny guest commentator I think I've ever heard. Oh, no, not Grandma's Table. Like, I was like, what is Snoop talking about right now? But he's Snoop Dogg, so whatever he says is cool, it works, it's good.
Right.
Snoop crushed it, I thought, too. What did you think of this match, Sean?
I thought it was good. I mean, I think you got these six gentlemen, seven if you count Paul Ellering, and these two young ladies on the screen.
Real quick, shout out to Paul Ellering. Never been at a WrestleMania. First time, and he was the manager of one of the greatest tag teams of all time, arguably.
Legion of Doom, that's correct. So you had these three gentlemen, or like I said, if you want to count Paul Ellering, six gentlemen, if you want to count Paul Ellering, seven. And these two young ladies on the biggest stage in professional wrestling, which they deserved. We all know it was a filler match, but when you put the Philadelphia Street Fight moniker on the match, it has potential. And I think they lived up to expectations. And I will say I'm a little bit biased, as much as I'm a fan of Karrion Kross that I am, that I do believe that Bobby Lashley deserved to win, considering what happened last year.
Do you still have hope that there's something there for Karrion Kross?
I think there's hope, because anytime you're on WrestleMania, there's hope. There's so many people that didn't make tonight's card. Rhea Ripley, Nia Jax, Liv Morgan. I mean, there's so many people that did not. Imperium wasn't on the show. The list is infinite. But when you have a chance to be on a 13 match card over two nights, you've been chosen to be on that card. So that means that the front office believes in the Final Testament, and the front office believes, I will never call them their name, I will call them Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits. There's hope. There's hope. Let's hope that they can cash in and make it worth it.
Interesting. Derek, any quick thoughts on this match?
Slap.
Here, Derek doesn't like any match that involves more than a tag team.
Okay.
He starts saying it's all bad. It ain't gonna work out right. Too many people.
It's sloppy. Don't give me what is there? What's the name?
The Pride?
No, not the Pride.
The Final Testament.
Final Testament. But what are the other two? What
were AOP. Office of Pain.
I couldn't remember. I feel bad for them. You've come up to the main card and have not won.
Have they won a match since they've been back? They had to have had at least a squash, right, on SmackDown?
They've had a squash on Raw, actually.
Are we really going to count a squash, though?
Yeah, they had a squash on Raw, and then the Final Testament debut was like 2 weeks later.
I don't know, bro. I feel bad for them. I feel like they've come up to the main card, and they've just been shat on. Like, hey, just be out there. Make it look good, and you're taking an L today. Okay, well, what about next week? Oh, you're going to take the L next week, too. Okay, well, what about next week? Bro, stop asking me. You're going to take that L every single time.
It's hard to book people in those spots.
It is. And I feel bad for Karrion Kross because I actually liked Karrion Kross in NXT. And then when he came up, I had somewhat of high hopes for him. Somewhat. Not on a grand scale. Uh-oh. But when he came through, I'm like, okay, I see something good for him. And now it's just like, oh, what are we doing? What are we doing?
I mean, but at the same time, even though you're making some strong points, AOP and Karrion Kross outside of Battle Royal did something they've never accomplished in their career when they were arguably at the top of their game.
Well, that's true. That's
very
true.
They were on WrestleMania. They never achieved that before. AOP was crushing people in NXT, and they came up, and to your point, Derek, came up to main roster and stunk it up because they were poorly booked. At least this little six-man with Scarlett and Paul Ellering has gained them at least some interest to the point where the front office was like, you know what? Again, there's 13 matches on this card. You guys are one of them.
Right.
And another big one for me, B-Fab makes it to WrestleMania. Good for her.
True, yeah.
Put Scarlett through that table with that leg sweep.
Right. That was actually really good. I like that spot.
Right.
Let me say this. I have been corrected by the chat, and I just was looking it up while talking to you guys. Paul Ellering did make an appearance at WrestleMania. WrestleMania 8, there was an interview segment with the Legion of Doom,
yep.
And he was there for it. I just pulled it up. Boom. Derek's my witness right here. There it is. That's Paul Ellering,
yep.
With hair a little bit. And, I was corrected incorrectly. So shout out to Matt Lopez, I think, was the one who corrected
me. Look at Matt.
M-Leezy, he knows, man. So, E, I apologize. I told E, no, it was SummerSlam 92, I believe he was thinking of. But Paul Ellering didn't last too long. And like I said, I don't even remember. Did they have a match on 8? I don't think so, Sean.
No, they actually were coming back from suspension, which is why they lost their tag title shot against Money Inc. And it ended up going to the Natural Disasters.
Yeah.
They were actually fortunate to have that interview on WrestleMania because they were suspended.
Yeah, trying to keep them strong. There it is. Thank you, Matt. Cactus says Hub is right. A lot of people didn't make the WrestleMania card. Where's Heath Slater? He got kids. He's Slater living that Impact life.
Ha ha.
I am convinced with how Liv was in the final three Royal Rumble. I think she'll be the next program with Rhea. I could see that.
No battle royal for the ladies this year.
Yeah, yeah. No sensational, invitational, none of that.
No.
Nothing. I think that was more of a Gomez era type thing. So
yeah, but
different.
And I'll never, you know how I feel about that gentleman, and I use that term loosely. So I'm not even gonna have to. I don't have to justify how I feel about him. He's a very such and such kind of guy, but. The battle royals give people a chance to be in the building. That's the problem. And you didn't have that. So, again, I mean, Nia Jax, Liv Morgan, not on the show. I mean, they didn't make an appearance.
Yo, shout out to Doug. What's up, Doug?
You know, I mean, I'm just saying, bro, like, they didn't, I mean, think about the women's roster, bro. Like, I mean, the six-woman tag, thank God for the six-woman tag.
Yeah.
This was a tight card this year, man.
13 over 2 days. They was not playing around.
Yeah. You got to earn that spot now.
Yeah.
Montez gets the win for his team. Beautiful frog splash off the top. Lashley gets the pin. I felt like he kind of made everything right. Now let's get plans for these brothers and let's do something with them. And I say get plans for the other brothers too. Kross and AOP. Like, let's do something with these guys, as Sean said. Sean made some really good points, too, about it. I saw Cactus agree with something else you had said, too. I think it's about the coming up. I think it was your thing.
Yeah.
Coming up to the main roster, this is what we do with them. AOP used to be menaces on my prediction sheets. There were so many times where I got, like, 9 out of 10 right, and who would be the one team I got wrong? AOP retains the tag titles. AOP. Then the one time I picked them, they lost them. I was so mad. They ruined me that year for prediction, like, anything you do on Facebook and stuff like that. Yeah. Got me good. Let's move forward here with the next match. LA Knight, AJ Styles. Derek, what do you think of AJ Styles' new music?
You know what? I struggled to hear it. So I'm gonna have to go back and actually listen to it again. But from what I could hear, I liked it because it fits the persona that he has right now. If he still had the they don't want none,
it what? Fit. By the way, do you guys know who that song was originally meant for?
Oh, you told me this.
Mm-hmm. The Cowboy James Storm. Yes. That was going to be his song when he debuted, but he did not. So AJ took it.
Interesting. Okay.
Sean, did you have any thoughts on the new song? Were you feeling it? I couldn't. It takes me a while with themes. It takes me a second before I can say I like them or not. And I was like,
I'm very funny about certain things and the way things are done in decency and in order. You do not give somebody new entrance music when they're going to lose. I always have felt that way. If you're going to give somebody new entrance music, make sure it plays twice.
Yeah.
So that's my only issue. I have no problem with the music itself, but if you're going to give somebody new music, they need to win the match. New music needs to be played twice. That's my rule.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. I respect that.
Man.
I'll tell you whose music I loved the minute that they showed up.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Won't.
Can grow.
Nice.
That's a classic. Enu, James Storm, good stuff. Needs to get his theme back. I wish, man. I think they had messed that up, man. What's good, Johnny Reynolds? Johnny Reynolds calling retirement in the chat. What's good, Johnny? Appreciate you, bro. Welcome in, man. And Cactus is agreeing with Hubs on music, man. Appreciate my XGW brethren being in here, man.
It does make sense, you know. If you debut new music, you have to hear it twice,
right? Right.
I respect that. I totally respect that.
So we went to this match. I didn't think this was anything. I thought LA Knight showed out a little bit. It reminded me of the old WrestleMania cards. I think Sean will remember this more than anybody. When you would have a matchup between two people and you kind of know they have a pass in other places, mm-hmm. that's the time where they bust out a move that they used to do.
Yes.
Right? Yes. Oh, LA Knight was doing tornado DDTs off the ropes. So I was like, oh, look at LA Knight. What happened to he can't wrestle?
Right.
Yeah, he was wrestling tonight. And AJ's just great.
Yeah.
AJ put him over like $1 million.
It's like Stone Cold breaking out the $1 million dream.
100%. And right. You know, that's from the Ringmaster days. Like, and only at WrestleMania will you get to see that one time.
Yeah.
Sean, did they get this one right, man? With the winner?
They got it right. I mean, AJ's a professional and LA Knight's the guy on the come up. I just hope it leads to something again. I'm not going to renege on what I said when we opened the show. I'm very excited about what I saw, very actually emotionally moved by what I saw tonight. But it only matters what happens starting tomorrow. It's hard to screw up WrestleMania. Everybody's so hyped and so emotional and so locked in. What matters is tomorrow. If we're going to see Sami Zayn versus Tozawa for the Intercontinental Championship tomorrow, then we're going to have a problem again.
Yeah. It's all how you I think tomorrow's show should be pretty easy to book. People are hyped. It's fun.
Yep.
All you got to do is give people a little surprise, maybe a call up here and there. People will be into the show.
Yep.
LA Knight gets to win with blunt force trauma after blocking the phenomenal forearm. I thought it was a fine match. And like Sean said, it depends on what we do for tomorrow. Now, real quick, Sean's a classic wrestling historian. Derek is familiar with the days of ECW, this being headlined by Paul Heyman tonight. I don't know, Sean, if you want to say anything about some of these folks, or just give some quick thoughts around the room about the Hall of Fame class this year.
Yeah,
totally. I know me and Sean were like going through it every time they announced someone, we would kind of just announce who was in. We might have missed like the last one with Rock's grandmother as a promoter, but Sean, any feelings on this Hall of Fame class? I'll pull it back up for you just so you can see who.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Conrad. You know, Bull Nakano was amazing. I remember the shock of watching Survivor Series 94 as, I want to say, 8-year-old, 7-year-old, and understanding that Bull Nakano had upset Medusa or Alundra Blaze over in Japan and showed up at Survivor Series during an interview segment with Ty Pettengill as a new champion. She was super dope. The U.S. Express wasn't a huge fan. I'm more a fan of IRS and Barry Windham as individual competitors, but they're trailblazing as it relates to the tag team division in the mid to early 80s, early to mid 80s, was something that should not be overlooked. They were in the first WrestleMania. That resume speaks for itself. Muhammad Ali, I don't care what his record is, Muhammad Ali is the greatest boxer of all time, having him at WrestleMania was a game changer. Really no introduction and no explanation needed. Thunderbolt Patterson was an amazing competitor far before his time. The influence he's had over people like The New Day, Road Dogg, Jesse James, and so many others is just goes without saying. So salute to him and the realness that he brought forth during his Hall of Fame speech. Atta, you know, obviously a matriarch of the bloodline, you know, the lineage that comes with that is just unmistakable, and she's long overdue. And of course, Paul Heyman, in my opinion, the second greatest professional wrestling manager to ever walk down a wrestling aisle. So I think they got it right. They went 6 for 6 or 5 for 5 on these inductees, and I'm very happy with what I saw.
And he knows he can't be the best manager. That's why he's the best advocate, the best wise man, because he knows. We know who that spot belongs to. And shout out to Bobby the Brain Heenan. Just
because. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Derek, any memories of Heyman, ECW? We can't repeat anything Heyman said because he went real ECW.
Man, listen. I remember the nights of just going to bed early. And, you know, we used to be just TV running, but we're not cold, knocked out. We get to turning over and all you hear is, ECW.
Dear, dear, dear. On the local channel. Dear, dear, dear. Yo, who is Rob Van Dam? I was like, oh my God, dude, this guy's crazy.
Dude, I remember waking up and I'm like, what is that? And just turning like, all I see is Sabu jumping into the crowd. I'm like, oh, hold on, wait a minute. Hold on. Wait a minute. What is this? Watching the whole show. Yo, ECW was.
Me and Derek went to the college where they used to film it. Now, it was after the fact, but you remember, right? It was probably like 4 years after ECW had closed. But I remember when my mom used to go there as a kid. Mm-hmm. And I remember it'd be, tonight, Taz versus Bam Bam Bigelow for the television title at the Burt Flickinger Center. And we went to that school. So when I watch it back, I'm like, yo, that's the college like where they play basketball and stuff. And it's crazy to watch it, man. I love everybody putting it up, man. Yo, listen, Sean is the best historian when it came to it. I agree with what Sean said about everybody. I didn't even disrespect Road Dogg because we're talking the Hall of Fame class right here. And it is lovely for all this stuff, man. ECW has such a profound impact. I thought Heyman laying that out, like, ECW, a lot of people like to say, like, oh, was it nothing?
Nah, ECW meant a lot.
They do stuff today now still because of it. He pushed wrestling forward from, like, 80s hair band and being just different to what it is today. So
yeah, anybody who says like ECW didn't mean anything, you're crazy.
They stole all their talent, they took their storylines. Paul Heyman has something special there. When it was on roller derby right before on TNN, I was there watching that too.
Absolutely.
It was good times.
Man, listen, ECW was fire. That's where you got all the best hardcore wrestling. That's where you used to see all the stuff that's now done in a lot of the indies and a lot of the mainstream. Without ECW,
come on now,
have that.
Come on now, Derek. You're talking that talk, and I'll put a piggyback on that and say this: if you take a typical ECW regular show, not even a pay per view, if you just take an ECW weekly show and make it Backlash in 2024, and you give me Prime Eddie Guerrero versus Dean Malenko or versus the man that we can't talk about, and then you give me Taz versus Sabu in a street fight, and then at the same time you bring back legend like Terry Funk and have him going up against Shane Douglas, or bring out Two Cold Scorpio, or have an interview segment with Stone Cold Steve Austin, that translates 30 years later.
Yo, and I gotta say it one time for Rob, for Terry Funk, I could work with him. I can do yeah, something special with him.
I can make something special with him.
Yo, shout out to Terry Funk, RIP, man. Yeah,
good old Terry Funk,
man. I love it, man. Yo, shout out to the chat for living up those memories with us too, man. So good, man.
Shout out to Dean Malenko.
Yeah. If you ever wonder, Derek, hit it one more time. If you ever wonder why Derek does that, watch Dean Malenko take a back body drop. Derek just notices the weirdest things in people. And I'm just like, yeah, he always does that. U.S. title match. We had a triple threat here. I don't have a lot for these because they just get crazy and it's hard to take notes. Randy Orton, Kevin Owens, Logan Paul. I was okay with this matchup. Logan Paul, man, I'm going to say this. Logan Paul's really good.
He is. He has done a lot. He has done a lot.
He's good, man. The Prime Bottle, we all know, it's a staple in his matches. It's usually another YouTuber. It was iShowSpeed. My nephew was here watching. He was like, that's iShowSpeed. I'm like, ooh. And he had to put me down on game on who it was. So he told me who this guy was. Randy Orton just RKO'd him on the table. Table didn't break. He's like a buck 20 wet. Like, there's nothing you could do about that. Orton takes him down. And he was sad that his favorite YouTuber got beat up. He was like, come on, man. I thought you had the hands.
Right.
I was like, not tonight, son. Logan Paul finds a way to retain, though, over Kevin. Kevin Owens had the ECW shorts on with his WrestleMania 7 or KO Mania 7 shirt. Yeah. But it wasn't enough tonight as Logan Paul hits a frog splash for the dub. Sean, were you shocked by this? What did you think of this, man?
I was shocked, but I guess, you know, they feel that Logan Paul has done a lot for the company. And he has. You know, this dude has pulled himself up by, I won't say by the bootstraps, but he's created a brand for himself that's gone worldwide. I mean, this guy has been in the ring with Floyd Mayweather. This guy has wrestled Roman Reigns. Like, it's like, you know, when you have had a boxing match with Floyd Mayweather and Roman in a wrestling match with Roman Reigns in 2022, 23, 24, that's like going back 30 years and saying that you were able to wrestle Andre the Giant and box with Mike Tyson. Like,
yeah.
Logan Paul is him in that regard. So giving him a win at Mania, it doesn't bother me. I mean, I would have liked to see Randy Orton for nostalgic purposes, but I'm cool with it.
Yeah, and I think he's re-upped his contract. That's the other reason why I think he was in. Like, yeah, no, I'm in here to do this.
Yeah.
And I think he's good at it. Yeah. I really do. Like,
he's excellent.
Honestly, you know what? If you actually watch what he has done over his time being at WWE, from his first to second, third, maybe fourth match, you can see the slow progression of, all right, he's starting to understand what's supposed to happen and how he's supposed to move and how the line work is supposed to go.
Yes.
I think he has improved tremendously over non-wrestlers, if that makes sense.
That makes a lot of sense. And I'm going to put it in the atmosphere and say that when Logan Paul sees this podcast and retweets it and millions of people see it, that he should take into consideration no more bringing out KSI or whoever this guy is tonight. I don't want to see somebody. No more bringing somebody in with the Prime Bottle suit. We don't need that from you anymore. No. You've proven yourself to be a legitimate professional wrestler. Just come out and wrestle. We don't need the Gaga.
Listen, when he went up against Ricochet, oh, yo, that was fire.
Unbelievable. And the Roman Reigns match still stands out in my mind. The young man is shown to be a talent. So all the other things, you know, like I said, bringing in your friends. Look, have them do an interview segment with you. The spots and during the match is unnecessary because you know what? That's the one thing that's making me have cause to pause. Like, should I take this guy seriously? Because everything else, he should be taken seriously.
Absolutely.
I think it's part of the WWE. So over the last few years, and I'm going to give credit to Andrew Zarian of Mad Men, and I think he's doing a podcast on Fightful now too, but you see his name pop up in the news a lot. He said when he went to SummerSlam, I can't remember what year it was now, Sean. Mm-hmm. It was the one where it was like the country music based one. I think it was in Nashville. He said he went to that show, and he said WWE is not the same WWE that any of us grew up with. It is now this big entertainment. It's a show. We got Logan Paul. You can come from anywhere. If you want to do this, you can do this.
Mm-hmm.
We will help you do this. And we have the best people to train you to do this.
Right.
It's just different now. Back in the day, we watched people, yeah, I used to get paid $20 and eat boiling potatoes for 2 weeks to learn how to do this.
Right.
Now there's so much money in it that it's like, yo, this is crazy.
Mm-hmm. You can
celebrity how to do this and have a great match with someone.
Yeah.
All right. So it's just different, man. It's just something different. So keep an eye out for him. I'm interested to see what happens with that. LP is the best modern day heel right now, Mike said. Interesting.
You know what? I will say he is the best modern day heel who doesn't necessarily feel like a heel.
Right.
Like he's neither good nor bad. He's just like right there. He's like, oh, I'll help you. Oh, I'll help you, but not right now.
And his heel promos actually seem a little bit coerced and not unoriginal, but a little bit forced. I think he just needs to be. I mean, you could be a JA, you know what I'm saying? You want to be a Jack A, that's fine. But, you know, going out of your way, you know, you fans in Jersey, you're stupid. Like, no, just you're super dope. Like, I'll go as far. Logan Paul's super dope. You don't need anything else. Just be yourself, bro. Like, you don't need to go out there and go out of your way to insult the fans. And I know that's heel 101, but this is 2024, bro.
Yeah, you just go out there and you're – if that's not your shtick already, you can go out there and be like, no, I love it here in Las Vegas. This is made for people like me. Not for people like you, but made for people like me.
There you go.
Because you can't afford to do the things that I can do. And exactly. You have to just let it flow.
You just manipulated and maneuvered that perfectly. That's exactly the route you should go.
100%. Leading to this, we are now at the point of another – Royal Rumble match that had implications here. Bayley, the winner of the Royal Rumble, as me and Sean have talked about on Clash of the Podcast live every Monday at 6:05 Eastern Standard Time. I will shill every time I get to say that.
Shill.
Io Sky, the WWE Women's World Champion, former member of Damage Control with them. Bayley has been kicked out of the group. This is her moment, and she showed up tonight for it. Sean, what did you think of this match?
It was cool. It was cool. It wasn't 5-star in my opinion. I think both ladies put on and did their thing. I think Io was Io. I think Bayley was Bayley. I think the right person won. We heard that new music twice. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, the story was told to its completion and to a satisfactory conclusion. The woman that got betrayed by Damage Control got her comeuppance, got her revenge, won the championship. I'm sure it'll lead to a rematch in Paris, which as it should. And we'll see where it goes from here. Very good match, not 5-star, especially if you're going to consider the match that we're talking about next to be 5-star, and that was more like 7-star. But Bayley and Io put on. I'm proud of both of them.
Right? Very good. Io hit her moonsaults in this, but Bayley gets the win with the rose plant. Derek, thoughts?
I liked it. It was nice to see Bayley get another title shot and actually win the title again. Like you said earlier, I think there's a time when we have our certain wrestlers who are there, and we are gradually seeing their departure.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is the reason why you give the belts to those who are starting to leave, or you take the belts from those who are starting to leave.
Mm-hmm.
When you understand it, like the four horsewomen, you can tell they are pushing forward to legendary status.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it's time for them to get their little just do and their little run going, which I respect wholeheartedly. Let them rock out for a little bit more time before they actually hit that legendary status.
I think the people to watch out for are going to be the Biancas,
yeah,
Jade, and then I think you're going to have a crop of NXT women who are also going to get the call up.
Right.
And that division is going to be set on fire. They're going to get way more attention than they've ever gotten in like wrestling history, I think, for this company. So,
oh, absolutely.
While we're tailing down the conversation about the ladies as this conversation concludes, I just want to throw out there that I think of all the people that we mentioned earlier about not being on the card, I think WWE made a tragic mistake by not having Tiffany Stratton on the show in some capacity.
Yeah, very odd that they didn't find a spot for her. But I could also see when she come up, January, Sean, February.
Yeah, it was earlier this year. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I could see them being like, you know what, let's you sit back and watch this year. And I hope that those other wrestlers did get the chance to come there. Like you said, the Battle Royal, you had to be there, so you're mm-hmm. here. Watch, pay attention, get in front of a monitor. This year, though, I'm like, oh man, I wonder if people flew out. Like, if you're Tiffany Stratton, I would assume you want to fly out for WrestleMania and still see it. But
well, she was definitely there because she was at the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I you would hope that everybody's there. Side note, Bayley's entrance wasn't the original idea. It was supposed to be Paramore come out with her, but because of a schedule conflict, it didn't happen. I saw that she was kind of bummed about that. Bayley is the overlooked one in that group, the Four Horsewomen. I think so, too. I think that she got called up later than everybody. I remember.
I agree, Deanna.
Yeah. Yeah, and people are talking about just rumors of call-ups happening. I hear you. I hear you. It could be happening. Keep your eyes peeled for that draft. I'm sure me and Sean will be running it down.
Yeah. I hope they don't HBK Big Daddy Cool Diesel Carmelo Hayes. You know what I mean?
We'll see.
Listen, if you're going to do the draft, which we know you're going to do, make it a draft and stick with it. No one crosses over. I don't want to see it.
Not all the time, at least.
I don't want to see it at all.
I think you can do it, but you have to save it. You cannot do it. They can't do it like, it's Tuesday, so how you doing, Finn? Come on in.
I think if you cross it, there has to be serious implications.
Or consequences for what you've done.
Yeah.
Yo, can I have some fun with you guys for 2 seconds? So, like the Judgment Day shows up on SmackDown, right? And they have their own custom locker room where they're supposed to be visitors. Like, when did they set up the Judgment Day locker room with all the purple stuff and the belts laying all around? They don't – you guys, in the words of the EST, Bianca Belair, y'all don't even go here.
Yeah. Yo, not even that. Finn and Priest are the tag champions. What are you doing here, JD? Who paid for a plane ticket for this?
What are you doing here?
Yeah, no.
Yeah, that's the stuff that I'm like, yeah, we got to stop that.
Yeah, no, it in order to cross over in my eyes, it has to be serious implications or serious consequence.
Right? Rockstar, he said he came in here upset. I'm back on the WWE bandwagon. They got you tonight, didn't they? Crossover moments not this week and next week. Yeah, that's how it's going to go down. Let me go back over here. Rob says, Bayley's the most well-rounded member of the Four Horsewomen. She can do everything the others can, but can't none of them do what she does. Ooh, facts. Putting it up there. I think there's weaknesses in all of them, and you could put them in order for whatever they're good at. Like I said, in-ring, Charlotte, like, immaculate. Mercedes, in the ring, bell to bell. If you put her against any of those three, she's going to have a great matchup with any of them.
Absolutely.
Bayley is the one, like he said, most well-rounded. She can do everything pretty well, and she's really not the worst at anything. And out of all of them, Becky's the best talker, period. No, you can't convince me otherwise with them. So big props to the Four Horsewomen. Yo, Guy Will Gable, who expends JD's ticket? That should be skits in the office for them. Who? Hunter needs to see you. I didn't do it.
Judgment Day is on Raw, but they have a custom locker room waiting for themselves on SmackDown. Like, how much more can the draft be not? Like, it's like totally bogus. Like, you know, like the draft. Oh, you know what? Listen. Becky Lynch, you're on Raw, not on SmackDown. Meanwhile, Becky Lynch shows up. Her whole locker room has the man paraphernalia on the walls. All her posters are up. Like, who put this together?
John, how about when they yell at them afterwards? I invited you here tonight. Then don't invite them back.
Is that what you're doing?
Weeks later.
Yeah.
Dude, like that. It should be like interleague play, like it is with baseball.
Absolutely.
The Blue Jays will play the Bisons once this year.
Yep.
We'll see you maybe 5 years down the line.
Yep.
But this year, we're going to play you at least once.
That's what I'm saying. That's exactly what I was saying. It should be like that. Maybe they'll get to a point like that. We don't know what Triple H's full vision is, maybe. He's making it sound like this is his now. We'll see. But let's look at how he decided to set off with the world championship, his vision. It's time for the main event. Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes. Bloodline rules, if you will. I'm not running through the whole rigmarole of this match. I'm just not going to do it. Derek and Sean, you two were feeling some way about this. I'm going to go to Sean first. I want to hear Sean's thoughts because I already know what Derek thinks, and I'm sure you guys can't wait. But I want to hear Sean's thoughts on this matchup because he's talking about we'd be surprised. He even in the pre-show, he seemed a little different here. So I was like, oh, okay. How you feeling about this?
Look, guys, here's the deal. Here's the deal. I've been very, very critical of World Wrestling Entertainment for quite some time now. I'm still not happy with the direction of Jey Uso. I still think they made the wrong decision with the Intercontinental Championship. There's so many other things that they need to fix. However, and I'm not even going to focus on the obvious, which is the amazing appearance of The Undertaker, Cena, Rock. You know, the list goes on and on. It was a running bonanza tonight. What we saw tonight reminded me why I fell in love with professional wrestling as a kid. That was one of the most exhilarating, exciting, emotionally driven matches I have ever seen. I mean, I thought that Roman Reigns and Cody put on at 39. This took it to a whole new level. It's very rare when you can have somebody go back-to-back at Mania. I mean, not everybody. There's nobody out there that can do what The Undertaker and Shawn Michaels have done. But I'm going to take it there, bro. I'm going to take it there. HBK and Undertaker at 25 was one of the greatest matches of all time. 26 wasn't. It was good, but it wasn't 25. Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns did better this year. A lot better. And it wasn't just about The Undertaker and Rock and Cena. That match told a story. That match made me believe that Cody Rhodes was really on the outs, and that Cody Rhodes was really in a situation where he could not win. And we all knew what was going to happen night one, and that Bloodline rules was going to mean Cody Rhodes was going to. But then they brought it all together. Like, it was similar. Conrad, you'll remember I talked to you about this on Mondays. I said, why don't you have everybody that ever did, you know, that Roman did wrong, come back and help Roman win? I mean, help Roman lose. It wasn't totally that, but we got Jey Uso. We got Seth Rollins. We got John Cena. Undertaker was just a bonus. They took, I can't believe I'm saying this about World Wrestling Entertainment, at least for tonight, that is. They took us back to day one, August of 2020, and they took us in a span of 30 minutes. They took us from 2020 all the way up to today. They reminded us about the Uso betrayal. They reminded us about the issues with Solo Sikoa. They reminded us that Solo Sikoa took out John Cena. They reminded us that The Undertaker's still the boss around here, even though he's not on the scene. They reminded us that The Rock and Roman Reigns are on the same team, but there's always going to be somebody bigger and better than batter, even than The Rock, that can even the odds. This was a match that gave me hope that WWE at least has the ability to get it right. Because tonight, I was wrong. And I've never been happier. I watched that match and I felt like tears were welling up in my face, not because of the emotional aspect of Cody Rhodes. I know Cody Rhodes is a genuine person who really wanted to be the champion in the whole situation with his father, God rest his soul. I wasn't choked up about the storyline. The storyline meant something to me too, because I'm a Dusty Rhodes guy. But what choked me up was the fact that, yo, for the first time in like years, I felt that somebody gave a crap about this that works in that company. I felt like somebody sat down and put pen to paper and said, we're going to make this match, and this is not hyperbole, guys, Conrad, Derek. We're going to make this match a top five match in the history of this business. And we're going to do it. And we're going to erase the foul, nasty taste that has been in our fans' minds. The people who have turned to AEW for support and refuge. The people that have turned to New Japan for refuge. The people that have turned to Impact for refuge. The people like me, and I believe Derek, and probably on you some level, Conrad, and many people in the chat, that are trying to search and find what made us fall in love with this business from the start, that WWE has been lacking for so long. And I'm not a fool in thinking that, yo, tomorrow night we might go back to the same status quo. I'm not being funny about Sami Zayn defending the Intercontinental Championship against Tozawa. That's the kind of stuff WWE's been doing. But tonight gave me the thought that maybe somebody in Stanford, Connecticut gives a crap. And I haven't felt that way in a long time, and my God, did it feel good.
Derek, I'm going to go to you. I back what you said there, though, about feeling like someone finally backs us. Even with what you said, they were taught, they did like a little special thing, and I don't know how much of it's tongue-in-cheek or whatever, but Triple H saying, I had the WrestleMania card planned since October. I kind of believe him. We knew where the pieces were, at least. Derek, what did you think of this main event as a whole?
I will say, truthfully, that this was really good.
I love that you said truthfully. Go ahead.
Truthfully, this was really good. This was the time where I needed WWE to actually tell a story or start a story, elaborate on a story, and complete the story. I will say, truthfully, on as far as like the wrestling aspect of it, it was good. It was definitely good, but the storyline, this dude will tell you, I'm big on storylines all the time. This is what I wanted to see. Granted, yes, I still have my reservations over Cody for personal reasons. Well, not personal to me, but
real quick, my feelings about Cody and my reservations still stand.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like my reservations on Cody hasn't changed. But as far as where this new direction is going, I like where it's going, but I'm like, this is where we are for the new era. I'm way up here because this man to tell you, I was heavy with wrestling. And then I was heavy on disappearing from it because they did so much that made no sense that I did not care for, that I stopped watching it completely. He brought me back. He was like, hey, come on, dude, check this out. Just watch this. Like, I was hell bent on like, not, I was like, yo, we can watch baseball, basketball, football, hockey, soccer. I don't care. I don't really care for this regard.
Right.
But he brought me back into it with the newer generation that I could really get into. So hopefully my reservations still stand with WWE as a whole. Hopefully they can make that come up here because I'm still way down here with them for a very, very long time. And if that's I'm a stickler. If you're gonna hold me here, this is where I'm gonna be. And now you gotta one up me 1,000 times over. Like for all my anime fans who love Dragon Ball Z, I need over 10,000. I need over 10,000 power levels to make me say, all right, I trust in what you're doing. As of right now, I don't. Because still you still only have two main attractions, really. Bloodline, Judgment Day. And then you don't do much with the new stars that are coming up until now, possibly, because there's still a lot of room for effery.
Conrad, Derek, before you go, Conrad, if I may just have 3 more seconds. I think your diatribe, Derek, was so poignant because, and I don't want anybody in the chat or you guys to misunderstand where I was coming from. Tonight was tonight. Tonight felt amazing.
Oh, absolutely.
But tomorrow's coming, you know? And again, I'm saying it for the third time, tongue in cheek. Tozawa versus Sami Zayn for the Intercontinental Championship, or, you know, Viking Raider Ibar versus, you know, JD McDonagh. Like, I don't believe in World Wrestling Entertainment. I haven't for a long time. But, and I guess I'm kind of like double talking here, but I think you'll understand what I'm saying. As good as tonight felt, it also angers me too. Because it's like, y'all have the ability to do this wonderful stuff. And I'm so tired of watching 3 hours of Monday Night Raw and feeling like I've only been entertained for 10 minutes.
No, I get that. I'm tired of being at the point where, like, we're chilling. We're watching. Like, yo, bro, it's only 9 o'clock.
Right. There you go.
Bro, let get me to that point where I'm not even thinking about it anymore. Get me to that point where things are happening and we're moving through it. And they're like, oh, shoot, we're already in the third hour. Yo, that went by quick.
Yeah.
Because we were entertained. There's a lot going on with WWE where you get to that point where it's like, this isn't entertaining at all. Like, right. Like prime example, forget Tozawa. If you do Sami Zayn versus Chad Gable,
okay,
do it correct. I promise you, if you let me direct the whole thing with this, I got you. I'll put you in that direction. Like, don't get me wrong, Chad. I love Chad Gable. Chad Gable is my guy. But this whole shush thing, I'm done. Mm-hmm. It was cool at first, but now I'm over it.
Right.
Listen, a lot happened with this. I don't know if they told Cody put that throne back together. What happened? But Cody was able to pull this off, and I've been hard on Cody because he left AEW for whatever his reasons may be.
You haven't been as hard on Cody as me and Derek have been.
I think I'm more understanding. I tried to explain to you guys that I went through it in the beginning. Because listen, I loved Cody as an EVP. Like, Cody was my favorite EVP out of all of them because he could talk the talk, walk the walk, and then when he got in the ring, he still delivered every time. The issue became once he left, and I was like, why did you leave what you helped create? Like, it doesn't make sense to me. This is what you wanted, I thought. Okay, so now you're going back to the place that treated you like this? And it's like this weird Stockholm syndrome that I thought some WWE wrestlers just, like, go through where I'm like, why do you need to get back to here? What do you have to prove? Make your stuff the next thing. And that's a whole argument for another time, and maybe it leads into the land of tribalism. I don't really care right now about this. But Cody finally got his moment. And Sick brought up a good point either. I want to give props to Roman Reigns because I don't want him to be forgotten about tonight. Roman Reigns put WWE on his back, number one, during a crisis time period. Number two, he changed his entire character and knew it was going to work, even though I'm sure he was met with resistance. Like, I don't think this is a good idea. I do. Or I'm walking. Roman gets what he wants. He does it. And he took us on this ride. And I don't care what anyone says. Oh, it was getting boring. I was tired of it. He took you on a journey.
Yes, sir.
It was a long journey. And when he finally took you to the destination and you got that cup of water, it was refreshing tonight where I was like, yes, this was cool. This made it mean something. This is what me and Sean grew up on, first becoming wrestling fans, long title reigns. And then when they finally lose, it's like, yo, this is a big deal. Like,
I want to piggyback on your analogy, Brother Conrad. I don't want to wait till 41 to have another drink.
Oh, 100%. And there's plenty of other drinks that can be had.
Right.
It's just you have to use the right people.
Right.
Who do people care about? Like you said, I can watch Raw, I guess, and it's okay to see Ivar versus Tozawa. It's okay to see those matchups. And I feel bad we keep using those two, but like you got to put on some matches, but you got to put on a story that makes people care. Give me a reason to care about it. Make me care. And if you do, I think that we'll show up for it.
Honestly, like if you give me, I don't need 1,000 storylines, because you can't have that. You have to have your main storylines, your mid storylines, and then you just have your wrestlers who are just wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
That this is, hey, get your work in, do what you got to do to get your work in. But when you have the main storylines and the mid storylines, they all have to make sense. Right now our main storyline is done. It's done. we're at our mid storyline now, which is the Judgment Day, which will become our main storyline. Like blood, like the bloodline will be there, but it's a part-time storyline.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Time storyline. Judgment Day, they're here until that becomes a part-time storyline. So what other storylines do you have that are going to make me say, hey, I love what you're doing right now. You're actually listening to what we want, and you're giving us what we want.
It's also a group of people now that they're appealing to. We're older. We're the older cats now. I've always been the person they've appealed to for years and years and years and years and years. And now it's on to a different group. But like you guys said, you got to give us a reason to still want to tune in. And I hope that they do. And tomorrow night is not going to be like the indication to move it forward. Tomorrow night is a special night still.
Yeah.
This is a special Raw that's normally, at least I hope it feels special.
I think that we're all kind of ignoring a little bit of a, I'm not going to say we don't realize the, I know you guys are super smart, but I want to bring to the forefront the elephant in the room. And that's this. I think we all agree the right guy won tonight as from a storyline perspective, right?
Yep.
But let me tell you something, guys. WWE has not existed. I'm going to say that again. Chat, listen to what I'm saying. World Wrestling Entertainment has not existed with Roman Reigns not champion in 3.5 years. Tomorrow will be the first day that is the case. I hope it works out. But WWE has ceased to exist without Roman Reigns as a champion since August of 2020. And now he's not the man for the first second since that day. We got to see how it plays out from here, man.
How do you guys feel about Cody calling out Pritchard and everybody? I thought something was going to happen, honestly, for as long as they were staying on this. I was like, something about to happen or what? They did the whole locker room comes out, lifts him up. You know, the Sting, Bret Hart, I call it. Yeah, this is the guy. Cool. It was all of Roman's foes for the most part. There were a couple of other people in there, too. How did you guys feel, though, about the celebration? Some people thought it was corny. I saw in the chat here. I think Vinny said that he wasn't the biggest fan of it. But what did you guys think?
I don't know. Sean, you want to rock at it first?
Yeah, I'll just say I thought it was corny that Cody said, I know you don't want me to call you out here. Like, don't do that. Just I don't believe that. I think Cody had genuine feelings tied up in what he said, but don't. I know you guys are gonna hate me for calling you guys out here, but can you cut? Like, just call him out. You know, he's like. Other than that, I thought it was fine. A little Ric Flair 1983 for me, but it was what it was.
All right, so. I'm going to stand firm on our sidebar as to what we talked about, because I definitely feel what I said last night between the three of us as to how I felt about that. I don't care for the fact that he called them out, but I have reasoning as to why I don't care for it.
Mm-hmm.
I won't elaborate on that. That could be set up for another podcast that I could break down as to why I feel like that. But I would have been good if he didn't do it. Just celebrate the fact that you won the title, you were able to finish the story, and just leave it at that.
I know a lot of people don't like Bruce Pritchard. I think, and I told Derek this before we even started doing this, before we even came up here, Bruce Pritchard is probably one of the hires that saved their backside in getting Cody Rhodes. If you don't know Bruce Pritchard's relationship with Dusty, go find something to wrestle with and go listen to the episode about Dusty, the first one. Bruce Pritchard and Dusty had a special relationship with each other. So you knew he knew Dusty's family. He knew Dusty's kids. He could do the impression. Cody has said that's probably one of the only people he will let do the impression. I still do mine if you will, baby. But other people, he doesn't like when they do it.
Right.
Bruce can do it. because Bruce knows his dad and grew up with his dad throughout wrestling. These guys are close. It's like family. And I think Bruce is the reason why he signed. He can say whatever he wants. And I think there was a bag on the table. Like I said, they had released all those wrestlers. We were all mad. I was mad. Sean was mad. And there was, the money is here. We got to steal someone from the other side. We want you. And what is a bigger coup than stealing an EVP from another company? I don't care if it's from Home Depot to Lowe's or McDonald's to Burger King.
There you go.
I want you. And I know that's how Bruce put it. You got the talent, and we want you. I
don't you're talking right, bro.
Stuff. I want your character, your branding. We're going to give you whatever you want. Please come over.
Right. We'll pay for you to keep the music, to keep the same character. Come on over. I could definitely see that. I can see that. But, you know, my reservations on as to why I don't like Cody.
People are asking, is the bloodline over? No.
There has to be an implosion.
I don't think there's going to be. I don't think it's over right now, but I do think a reckoning is coming from within.
To Deanna and anybody else who's worried about that, you got to. I hate to keep beating a dead horse that me and Derek were beating last night. Roman Reigns is scheduled for SummerSlam, guys. So this is not over. Will we see Roman for a couple of months? Maybe not. I wouldn't bet the house you'll see him on Friday, but Roman Reigns is scheduled for SummerSlam, so this is not over.
No, I wouldn't even be surprised if he shows up tomorrow for a second. Maybe he opens the show then leaves, but
yeah, maybe right.
You never know with Raw after Mania. BJ brings up a good point here. Rollins got dogged both nights of this, and I was surprised that he still was there to help Cody. Just for the fact of Cody came in, Cody beat Seth. Then Seth is here. He's getting his moment here. And what happens? He's like, Cody, I'm going to help you. He gets beat up in the first night pretty badly. Then he loses that match. He goes into his championship match tonight, and he loses again. He comes out to help him in the main event. Whammo. He got taken out with the chair instantly. Done. Go down.
Seth Rollins didn't even get a punch in during that fiasco.
No.
That was very weird. I want you to continue, Conrad. That was extreme. I noticed that, too. I was kind of like, he didn't get a punch in.
Yeah, he got chumped. That was my point that I'm trying to make. Like, if he's hurt, give this guy a break. But at the same time, don't be afraid to maybe visit changing his character up or something.
Oh, stop. See, I was with
you. Well, no. You still see him as a baby? I think Seth could turn heel now.
No, Seth is over like Rover. No. I was with you till you said that. Seth Rollins is fine right where he is. I don't like what they did to him tonight. But Seth Rollins, no. You don't like the way he dresses, and you don't like the music.
I don't like character progression. I have no issue with how he dresses. He can come out there doing La Bamba and all whatever he wants to do. I don't care about none of that.
Conrad, I didn't meet you for the first time tonight, Conrad.
Listen,
we talked about this. You do not like Seth Rollins' persona.
It needs to make sense. The streamline from it, from different people, is not my issue.
All right, go ahead.
My issue with tonight is this. Seth Rollins did not look good tonight. I don't know what to do to repair him.
He doesn't need to be repaired. I want to give you cause to pause, brother. Tonight was a bad night. Him not getting a punch in during the run-ins is ridiculous to me. No question. But that doesn't mean he's ruined. You know why I don't think he was ruined? Because of one moment. They still let him shake. Now, I was watching the whole celebration. Derek, for you too. I was watching the whole celebration, and I was paying very close attention to Seth Rollins. And I was like, are they going to let – because if you notice, everybody got a hug. Everybody got a high five. But at the very end – the very end, Seth and Cody embraced. So that is an indication that Seth is right where he needs to be. You guys tell me if I'm reading too much into that.
I just think that Seth, I thought Seth might have been the one where it was like, I was like, someone in here could turn. And at first I was like, maybe Orton. And then I was looking, I'm like, Seth. Seth has to be upset that, like, yo, I helped you, and I got nothing, and I'm looking at you, and you have the world. You know what I mean? It's the perfect, like, yeah, I got you for this, brother. Maybe Cody gives him the first shot at Backlash?
Maybe.
Face versus face? I don't know.
I think, you know what I think, and I'm talking to me too. I think we're all real infatuated and flabbergasted and enthralled and hyped up about what we just saw. I think we all need to take a deep breath and realize two things. Seth freaking Rollins is over like Rover. And night one, not night two, but night one, people were booing Cody Rhodes. Seth Rollins having an issue with Cody Rhodes getting all the glory could lead to more people disliking Cody Rhodes than more people disliking Seth Rollins.
It could flip things around. I think the WWE fan base has changed as well. I think they are very forgiving right now of things. Far more forgiving than our group ever was, Sean. We will be on it instantly. Yeah. Nope, you ain't fooling me. But I think they are far more forgiving today, and I will stand on that.
You know, the one thing that I'll say, this would be my booking situation for Seth. So for Seth, yes, he had the title. He lost the title. He got beat up night one. He got beat up night two. Mm-hmm. He embraced Cody, like you said, Sean. You know, you did your thing. Great job. The way that I would book this to start Seth over is you take what he was supposed to have, which is what I had called before. If y'all remember, go back to when I said the Monday Night Messiah should be modeled after the movie The Sacrament. You take this persona that he has now, take that persona and make it the current persona, and now you still have everybody cheering for Seth, mm-hmm. but Seth is on a more serious route.
Right, less smiling.
Yes. That's how I would have booked this now, but you can't do it now because you did it in the beginning.
Oh, I like your assessment, because you know what? You owe me does sound about right if I'm Seth Rollins talking to Cody Rhodes.
Yeah. I think BJ nailed it in the chat. First, hi to Tiff from Indie Wrestling Corner. Join us. What's good, Tiff?
What's up, Tiff?
BJ said that it was a case of Seth being Cody's shield, why he came out with the shield music. He was there to protect him. That chair shot could have been for Cody if he wasn't there. Cody might have gotten jacked up in the tag match if Seth wasn't there. So that's the story he thinks that they're telling. Because here's the thing. When I mentioned the heel thing, you got to put in perspective how many faces and heels there are on each side. Seth makes it way too heel heavy with just Cody being like the only baby face and no one to ever come to help him.
That's what I'm saying, bro. Like Seth.
It makes sense, but I'm just saying I want something. I want Cody to have someone where I can get into this right away, but I don't know how we get there. But like you said, maybe we're just jumping the gun. We're trying to book.
What I want from you, Conrad, you're super smart, bro. I need you to stop being so smart. No, I'm serious. I mean this from the bottom of my heart, bro. Brack's tacks of being over come in different ways. Was the Ultimate Warrior awesome because he ran to the ring and shook the ropes? No, but it just worked out that way. For some reason, and I want you to talk about it at least for 5 minutes. We can talk about it more tomorrow or in the future, whatever. There's something about Seth Rollins and the sing-along with Seth Rollins and the clothes and the what. And Derek, feel free to chime in. It's like there's something about this guy that you don't like. And I'm simply saying to you, bro, it's organic. It's working. He's freaking awesome. What's the problem?
My problem with it is you gave Seth Rollins 2 to 3 different personas and didn't explain how you got there.
Okay.
That's my issue, because you went from Monday Night. Yeah, so you went from Monday Night Messiah.
Swinging the belt and stuff. Right.
Yeah. Then you went to.
He Seth. Had a group. The group gets fired. Seth then just switches it up. And then you're like, wait, how did we get to where him and Becky are doing the same thing? Like, I can't remember any of this. Right. Maybe it logically happened and I missed that episode of Raw, but I don't remember how we got to this version of Seth.
No.
I
don't think we missed it, bro.
I don't think you missed it.
It was here, with nothing in between to say why you got here.
Right.
Yeah. It's just, I think I'm never going to like it. Sean, it's just because it didn't flow right. Maybe when they do the next character change, I can be like, okay, I'm with this. I'm going to let this go. It's in the past. But I don't like when people flow and then it's like, yeah, this is what we're doing now.
Right.
Like Sami Zayn's a perfect example of character ship flowing. He helped Kevin Owens. He turned heel. I got it. Then he became his heel version of himself. Derek has a nickname for him. You can say it. Wow. Sami Zayn, when he was coming out in the green, like army stuff and all that, that's fine. He comes out and he does his thing, and I can get with it. Now he's back to being a baby face again. I'm with it. That makes sense. I don't have an issue with that.
Can I give you an analogy / comparison that I think you'll appreciate, both of you guys? John Cena was never meant to be a rapper. He wasn't. It was a backstage Halloween segment that caught fire. Seth Rollins, I'll be the first to admit, Seth Rollins' music and sing along with Seth Rollins has helped him immensely. Are we going to blame Seth Rollins for the fact that he has awesome music? Let me tell you something, bro. I've used this analogy before. Bobby Fish needs the Undisputed Era and the music and the merchandise because without it, he's nothing. Seth Rollins is better than Bobby Fish could ever dream to be. He's excellent in the ring. He's pretty good on the microphone. And now he has awesome music and crazy clothes. Like, maybe it did happen by accident, but it wasn't a happy accident?
No, it was a happy accident because it pushed him back up the ladder.
Hold on. Right. I'm going to end this real quick for what it's a happy accident. But it's an accident that led you to only be in the same spot that you've always been in. Ooh, you get what I'm saying? Okay. Like, he hasn't ever really gotten past the, listen, dog. When Roman said the number two thing, you know, when I say you're Macho Man, that means, yo, you're number two, dog. And
it's a good point. You're making a good point.
And he's always been number two. So what did this all get you? What is this?
No, I got to give you credit. That's a good point you just made.
I'm just saying, the progression of Seth's character didn't make sense, but it was a big improvement, Guy Will Gamble says. BJ says, I can agree with the base of Seth's character was without substance, but basically his character has been like, Seth, and this is what he's doing now. People just went with it for him. Yeah, but this goes back to being forgiving of things. Like I said, sometimes when other people make mistakes, I'm like, dang, dude, you're not going to give this a shot? And it's like, nope, you're done.
So real quick. So, Sean.
Derek, I feel like you got a nugget for me, man. Bless me with it.
Listen, I promise you, bro. So, after we are done with this segment tonight, after we're done with the show, I want you, like, on a sidebar. I'll hit you on this. I'll get you on the sidebar once we're done with the show.
No problem.
And then and it'll relate to Seth.
Okay.
And then you'll see why I feel the way I feel about Seth's character progression.
Okay.
Why it didn't work.
No problem.
Yeah. Yeah. Because like you say, you brought up the Cena thing. The Cena thing was meant to show you, okay, he can rap, and then we're going to...
No, it wasn't, Conrad.
No, because you know where they first heard him rap? It wasn't there.
It was on the bus.
It was on the bus. And then they
but
said
that segment wasn't... Oh, Conrad.
Yes. Then they said, we're going to do a segment on SmackDown. Have him dress... Why would he be rapping? Okay, it's Halloween. You're going to be a character that raps.
So he does. I could be wrong.
No, he did the little corny rap, and then they were like, yo, we're going to transition you into this. He used to wrestle in Tim's and big baggy jeans.
I could be wrong. I thought it was a happy accident.
You're not wrong. We're both right, I think.
Right.
In this situation.
right.
He got the rap. Stephanie heard it. She's the hip-hop fan, not Triple H, by the way.
Right.
And that's how it went down, man. Listen, grapes for the show tonight. We didn't discuss this at all. Let's put the bow on this. Put them in the chat. Everybody throw it up.
Honestly, truthfully, I'm going to give this I'm going to give this an A.
Okay. Sean?
I'll elaborate a little bit more than Derek did and just say last night, the main event, the Intercontinental Championship brought it down for me because of outside reasons. Tonight brought it up. The main event brought it up. This was a B-plus show that had an A++++ main event, which brings this pay-per-view as a whole night two to an A.
The reason why I asked, and I like that.
Let me just mark it down for us officially. Tonight will be an A for sure. That C+, B-, we still, I don't know about that. I still think y'all were harsh a little bit. Right.
The reason why I gave this an A, like, regardless of the fact of the six-man tag, you can miss me with that garbage. Mm-hmm. It's very, very, very sloppy. But you had enough in the tank to cover that.
Mm.
That got covered for me.
Mm.
Wow.
And then your main event was just like if anything, I would have said this is a solid, no doubt, and I would argue it a B+ pay-per-view.
Right.
But everything that happened in the main event is what carried it to an A for me.
Too flow too much like a thread. Sean, peep what I like. It mm-hmm. flowed like a thread. It all went in and all went out and it made sense. And then you got the perfect stitch right there. That's what it's about.
Yeah.
And I just read somewhere too. Who said it? Was it Matt? Triple H has said that Roman has a bigger story coming up for him. Interesting.
I told you the brother's not going nowhere.
No. We saw the SummerSlam poster. He doing something. He got playing. So.
Yeah.
Mania Night 2, 9.2 out of 10, BJ says. EPW, 10 out of 10, that premium Pizza Hut experience. Sean being here helped ensure no disruptions or negatives.
B-jizzle.
Think this Mania broke the record for most title changes. I'll have to look into that.
Hmm, interesting.
I'm not confident with my Mania talk right now after that Paul Ellering. I'm hurt that I forgot that.
It was just an interview, bro. You're good.
Just a small chink in the armor.
It was just an interview. It wasn't even a ring interview. It was one that podium with me, Gene.
Right. So you really can't count that, bro.
Facts. You guys making me feel better.
There you go.
Drake in the house was good. Drake, welcome. He says, "Yeet or no yeet?
Yeet.
Yeet." Let me see.
Oh, by the way, quick note: Jimmy and Jay had more awesomeness in 30 seconds tonight.
That whole match yesterday.
They did. They certainly did.
Wow, look at Sick. He said A+. And I'll even say that this is the greatest finish in the history of WrestleMania. It was the 2000 SmackDown ending all over. I told everyone this last time. I'm saying it again. When The Rock came back for WrestleMania 28, this is what I wanted. I didn't want to see no daggone Rocky Maivia cross body blocks. I wanted to see this, the foolishness. That's it. Yep. That's what we grew up on. So, yeah, it is good. I don't know what else we
listen. Just a quick question for you guys, my brothers. What do you think was a determining factor? I mean, I don't think it was money. Like, something had Stone Cold say no thank you, right? So it's like, do you think Stone Cold just kind of chilling right now? Because to me, if there was ever a time, all we would have needed was one stunner or one chair shot, it would have been easy peasy 1, 2, 3.
Maybe it was a tell me how this makes sense.
Because
he had no involvement with it. At least with Taker, I saw someone say like, well, Taker and Roman, this is my yard now. And
yeah,
okay.
I mean, but then again, Rock Austin?
Yeah, yeah. That's what I thought could have happened, but...
Okay.
Taker's always on deck because he's there for his one-man shows because he follows them. So,
well, thank God for Taker, because if Taker said no thank you, then what?
Right. Yeah. Well, see, I thought Rock and Austin too, but then I also thought like, okay, you could have Rock and Austin, but then Austin wouldn't care about the bigger picture.
Right.
Austin was definitely stunnering like 18 people too.
Right.
Versus the one. And I think that what they wanted to do was make sure Roman didn't get touched. Because that would have made Cody look weak in the...
No doubt. I was just curious what y'all thought, because Austin, I mean, but you know what the funny part is? And no disrespect to Steve Austin, you know, this is certainly not I wish Steve was there because it would have been better. They knocked it out the park.
Yeah. Yeah, they slammed this down pretty good, man. Listen, I'm going to end this here tonight because we've been talking. Me and Sean have a show to do tomorrow. I haven't even gotten any pictures for it yet. I'm probably going to work on that tomorrow morning.
I'm going to have some stuff on standby. I'm going to send it to you when we get off the air.
My man. Thank goodness. We're gonna hook it up tomorrow for Clash of the Podcast. We're going to talk a lot. Like I said, there's going to be some AEW talk in there mixed in, maybe some ROH a little bit at least. We're going to talk Mania. We're going to talk what we know is happening on the Raw after Mania. I don't know if matches have been announced or whatnot. Me and Derek will be live for the segment me and Sean are talking about tomorrow on Wednesday, 10-10. And then I think we can get back to our usually scheduled programming soon. So we're going to be good on that note. I don't think we're going to have a Dynasty review coming up, but I think me and Sean might review it the next day on our side of things. So keep tuned in with EPW. Subscribe to Hubbard Wrestling Weekly if you have not. It is always appreciated. Everybody who's in the chat putting comments, showing love. Much appreciated, man.
Clash of the Podcast on Hubbard Wrestling Weekly summer schedule is out and available to be seen and know what's coming up. So Hubbard Wrestling Weekly Clash of the Podcast specials. Summer schedule is out.
Uh-oh. Matt's asking, will there be a Raw after Mania review? Not this year. If they can show, because the last time I did one, I was mad. Derek remembers. We stayed up, and I was like, why did I promise people I would do this? You could blame Jesus Delio for this. Jesus, if you listen to this, you better know that you picked the worst Raw after Mania for us to review, and I said, never again, brother, until I see a good one. So I'm on my Sean Hubbard. I'm standing on it. I'm not reviewing another Raw Mania until you show me a good one. So Trips, balls in your court. Check up, mate. So let's see what you do.
I will make a promise to the entire Everything Pro Wrestling Clash of the Podcast fan base. If Jey Uso ever becomes world champion, I don't care if he becomes world champion on Raw, on SmackDown, on Sunday Night Heat, on Velocity. If there's ever a time where Jey Uso becomes world champion, I will be live on Hubbard Wrestling Weekly within 10 minutes after the show.
Believe that.
Yep.
Bennett.
There you go.
Listen, we're going to be here. Rock with us, man. Thank you. Spread the word to your friends about pro wrestling. Like I said, I think we're probably up there for one of the more underrated podcasts in the game, Hubbard Wrestling Weekly, EPW. Come in, vibe with us, rock with us. And as usual, man, night two of WrestleMania is in the books. This will probably be located at the top of the EPW feed. Make sure you guys check us out, check out more of our content, and don't forget to check out Hubbard Wrestling Weekly. For myself, the man they call Derek, and Sean of Hubbard Wrestling Weekly, we are out with this WrestleMania 40 review. Catch you guys on the next one. One.